And welcome to a Juno Afternoon. Today is Wednesday, the 15th of August, 2018. I'm Ben Brown. It's just a few seconds after the hour. Today we're going to hear from Club Baby Seal and from Mayor Ken Kelch about the UAS School of Education Scholarship Excellent Fund. Perseverance Theater will be here to give us some information about upcoming activities. And the Juno School District has a representative coming in to tell us everything we need to know before going back to school. So stay tuned for that here on a Juno Afternoon, coming up very soon.
This is Bird Note. Gordon Hempton, the sound tracker, seeks those rare places untouched by human noise where birds and nature create a complex, quiet music.
One square inch of silence is a real place. It's up the Ho Valley, a rainforest, in Olympic National Park. It is a place that is home to Earth's tallest trees, and it's also the least noise polluted place in all of the lower 48. It is an area that I'm trying to preserve. Isn't it amazing to think that on all of planet Earth, there is not one place off limits to noise pollution? And air traffic is the number one violator. The noise-free interval, which is the measure of quiet at the one square inch of silence, has shrunk from in 2007. It was commonly over an hour. Now, because of the increased frequencies of flights, it's barely 20 minutes. We will see the complete loss of quiet, natural silence, in the United States unless we do something. And there are no bad guys here. They're just are people that are not paying attention to the importance of silence.
Today's sounds were recorded by Gordon Hempton of QuietPlanet.com. For Bird Note, I'm Mary McCann.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. A Native American woman will be the next lieutenant governor of Minnesota. Voters took to the polls Tuesday in the state's primary, choosing the Democratic and Republican nominees for governor. The top vote-getters in each party have Native American female running mates. The Democrats are Tim Walz and Peggy Flanagan. Flanagan is a citizen of the White Earth Nation. After thanking supporters in a speech streamed online by KSTP, Flanagan acknowledged history in the making.
And I do want to also just note this historic moment. There will be two Native American women who are running for lieutenant governor in the state of Minnesota. So Donna Bergstrom, here we go, sister.
Donna Bergstrom is the Republican candidate with Jeff Johnson, who's vying for governor. She's a member of the Red Lake Nation. Native women in the 2018 political season are seeing victories across the country. In Idaho, Paulette Jordan is the Democratic gubernatorial candidate, and two Native women won Democratic nominations for congressional seats, Deb Holland in New Mexico and Sharice Davids in Kansas. It was a loss in Wisconsin for Arvina Martin, Ho-Chunk, who did not win the primary challenge for Secretary of State on Tuesday. A sculpture for a Native American burial site in a Michigan town will be relocated. The Grand River Bands of Ottawa Indians advocated for a new location due to concerns it would disturb sacred ground. The Associated Press reports construction was already underway. The 16-foot granite sculpture was to stand at the entrance of the old Indian cemetery in Muskegon. City officials are reportedly seeking a new site for the art. 30 U.S. attorneys from across the country who work in districts with tribes and tribal land met this week in Oklahoma to come up with a plan to reduce crime in Indian country. The Attorney General's Advisory Subcommittee on Native American Issues is looking at ways to address violent crime and drugs, top priorities of the Attorney General. The Justice Department is working with local, tribal, state, and federal law enforcement. on investigating and prosecuting crimes, expanding grant programs, training and technical assistance, and information sharing with tribes. The subcommittee met with the Cherokee Nation and the Muscogee Creek Nation. Salmon is back on the menu at the Yurok Tribes Festival this weekend in California. Tribal leaders say they could not serve salmon in 2016 and 2017 due to low fish runs. During those years, fish populations fell, in part due to disease, water diversions, and water quality issues. The tribe will celebrate Klamath salmon at its 56th annual event. The fresh fish caught will be cooked the traditional way over an open fire. Activities include cultural demonstrations. Seven expert traditional basket weavers from local tribes will showcase cultural objects. The items are made from materials from the forest, river, and seashore. Traditional games, music, and language will be highlighted. The Yurok Tribe is the largest federally recognized tribe in California and has a reservation which straddles the Lower Klamath River. A tribal college in New Mexico is awarded more than $300,000 by NASA's Minority University Research and Education Project. The funds to Navajo Technical University will go to develop a robotics academy. The program will provide students with advanced classes in aerospace manufacturing. Navajo culture will be reflected in the academy. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios by Kwanic Broadcast Corporation. Funding is by Odawi Law Group, provider of Indian Law Solutions, and by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, with support from the Public Radio Satellite System.
Support by BNSF Railway, one of the American Indian Science and Engineering Society's top 50 employers. You can join us at the ACES Conference October 4th through the 6th in Oklahoma City. Info at AISES.org.
Support by AARP. At AARP, we create and connect you to unique tools and programs to help you save money and tackle the issues that matter most to you, your family, and your community. What we do might surprise you. More at AARP.org.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Network.
Come join the Juno Arts and Humanities Council for the 10th and final Summer Block Party of 2018 this Friday, August 17th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. in the Centennial Hall Courtyard or the Jack Main Hall if the weather is inclement. Featuring live music with Betsy Sims and her marimba band and the Mayor's Awards for the Arts presented by Mayor Ken Kelch. As always, there will be plenty of local products offered by local Juno merchants, a beer garden, lawn games, and a whole lot more fun. Celebrate the summer and support the new Jack. Sponsored by the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. It is 8 minutes, a little more than 8 minutes after the hour. Today's Wednesday, the 15th of August, 2018. I guess that makes it the Ides of August. I'm not really sure how that works outside of March. I already said my name, Ben Brown. I'm here with Nate Williams and Alicia Hugh-Scandish from Club Baby Seal. Welcome to a Juno Afternoon.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Hey.
And so Club Baby Seal should need no introduction, but you know that's not how we do it in radio. So a wonderful local troupe of fabulous, funny comedians. And how many years has the Club Baby Seal movement been alive now, folks?
Is it 2 or 3 years? I'm terrible with time.
I think it's got to be 3. It seems like it's been going on for a little while.
Yeah, I think it's 2.5. Let's call it a soft 3.
A soft 3 years.
Yeah.
And so there are some shows coming up this weekend.
Yes. We have shows this Saturday night at 9 and 10:30 at the Goldtown.
At Goldtown Nickelodeon.
Mm-hmm.
And for listeners, for those very few listeners who are not familiar with Club Baby Seal, will Baby Seals actually be clubbed during the performance?
No. That, if you have a VIP ticket,
that might happen.
Yeah.
Colette gets to do that part, right?
She does the pre-show.
Okay, exactly.
It's like Gallagher, splash section.
But, but you get to keep the pelt? No, I'm sorry. tell the very few listeners who are not familiar with Club Baby Seal who the other comedians involved are and sort of the genesis of the group and what's involved in being a troupe of stand-up comedians in a place like Alaska's capital city.
It's
that was a compound question. We called that.
I looked to my colleague to see if he was raring at the back.
This is the capital.
you're breaking Nate's mind. It's myself and Nate and Corin Huskandy is my brother. As you know, he's a man about town. Allison Holtkamp, another well-known performer in town. And we kind of it's stand-up comedy in the capital city, and it's I think it was just a bunch of friends who like to try to make each other laugh, and we all really like stand-up comedy, and it just kind of arose out of there.
And it's actually developed into a not just a once in a while thing. You have some pretty regular performances now.
We do. I think it worked out to it's usually about every other month. Mm-hmm. It's kind of nice to be doing this one because we've been traveling, doing shows outside of Juneau this summer, touring around. So it's nice to come back, and we haven't done one in town for a little bit. So felt overdue.
And do you – obviously, some jokes never get old, but some do. I think that's the end of that yang. What are you doing with in terms of writing new material, is there anything that's been especially funny and worth making jokes about lately? Just everything in life at this point?
Yeah. I don't know that. I mean, you know, the Tonight Show style of comedy where it's commentary on the day and it's super tied in. I don't think there's some of that. You know, Nate addresses, I feel like, more. Maybe you're a little bit more contemporary. But I mean, it's more, I think, what you'd expect to see and, you know, stand-up comedy, it can be quite personal, and so just depends on what's going on in everyone's lives. It's a frantic pace because every time we do a show, anyone's come out to see a show previously, when we do a show in town, it's all new material every time. So.
Excellent. Okay, so maybe something about what rhymes with Omarosa or something like, I don't know.
Yeah, things of that nature, yeah. You can normally get, like, 2 weeks before, I'll start, like, considering doing a current event joke, but just the speed of a news cycle, I mean, if you're making a joke about, I mean, what happened a month ago, who would remember or care? It's just kind of warmed over, unless it's really incredible and worth jogging everybody's memory, but yeah, mostly it's more the enduring tragedies of life,
sure,
like relationships and jobs.
So being humiliated in Helsinki, yesterday's news, Paul Manafort closing arguments, super exciting and funny.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. Okay, I actually didn't have time to hear about those today, but, you know, Rachel Maddow, it's almost like stand-up sometimes when you watch – or when you watch Tucker Carlson. I'm not going to give MSNBC any more props or criticism than I give Fox News. It's there is comedy in everything, and I guess that's what I learned from – I think the best teacher I had at school was Mr. Long. He was my theater teacher and my English teacher. But he taught us that, you know, that tragedy and comedy all come from the human condition. So when things are really great, that's good to talk about. And when they're really bad, that's also good to talk about.
I think a formative experience for myself does not – nobody read too much into this story. But I remember being young, one of the first funerals I had ever gone to. And I was – just in contortions, trying not to laugh because I knew it would be a horrible place to laugh. But the more, you know, it's one of those situations.
Yeah, church laughter.
You
it's
know
the best.
You're not supposed to. And sometimes that's the most delicious laugh because it would be a very bad time to laugh. So
that's what makes stand-up so hard, I think, is it's almost easier to get a laugh in, you know, a church or in certain areas. But this, people are there to laugh. So they're, I mean, it's... That's the whole conceit. So you can't really. There's no sideways laughter. You're really, you know, looking down the barrels of it, and people are expecting something well crafted and up to the task.
And they. I guess the way I've always described it, because I've really only done it other than trying to be funny all the time, and I don't know that I'm horribly unsuccessful at that. But I mean, I'm not certainly not horribly successful. We actually for Pride Week, and this was over a decade ago, brought a gay comedian up from San Francisco, and I opened for him in the Hangar Ballroom, and I actually tried to work on my material. And when you start writing it down and thinking about the rhythm of what you're saying, it's every bit as scripted as a play. I mean, really, your word choice, your breaths, your pauses, it's that carefully worked up. And then if you master your material, just like in a play, then you can bebop and scat when you're up there. But if you don't do that homework first, it can go south pretty quickly is what I learned.
Yeah,
Absolutely, yeah. If you think you'll just kind of shuffle through it at the time, like, it's got to be right there. For certain people, I mean, I think Alicia has more latitude. Sometimes she's able to get into a flow. But, yeah, it's pretty stamped out.
So as far as the art of stand-up comedy, Tig is coming.
Yeah.
She's a well-known comedian. What's her last name again?
Nataro.
Tig Nataro, that's right. KTOO is bringing her up this fall.
Exciting. Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a big deal. Obviously, we had Paula Poundstone here a few months ago.
That's right.
Huge, very well attended, I think sold-out show in Centennial Hall. Who are some of your favorite stand-up comedians that you like to watch and maybe that inspire you, and you as you do your work?
I'm a big John Mulaney fan. I've seen him. There's some other people who may have been in the news cycle where some of my...
Does it rhyme with Louis G.K.?
Who are some of your favorites? John Mulaney is like a standout for me right now. I'm trying to think of... I love Tiffany Haddish.
Yeah.
She's a fave of mine.
Yeah, Michelle Wolf, Ari Shaffir. There's just so many.
I'd just leave so many
people out. And they each kind of scratch a different little area.
Sure.
Get more physical or intellectual comedy or just different types of wordplay. Dimitri Martin, I just watched his new one. He's just so well crafted. And I take in quite an array.
How about classic comedians? You know, the Bob Newharts or the Joan Rivers. Is anyone that you remember from back when you were a kid and you were first, I got to stay up and watch The Tonight Show? Because I definitely will date myself and say I love staying up and watching Johnny Carson. I just thought he was great. And, he obviously set the standard for, well, in a way, for everything since. I mean, that was what late night TV was.
Yeah.
But anyone, did you like Joan Rivers? Did you ever listen to her when you were little?
I was not a Joan. I didn't get ever in on that when I was younger. Some of the, and of course I can't reach back as far as a little bit younger. But some of the people who sort of broke out some of the earliest casts of SNL, those were the sort of comedic idols that I remember staying up and watching and, being just so in awe of trying to.
Well, I didn't mean to give an impossible to answer question.
Yeah.
Nothing funny about that.
Yeah.
So back to this weekend. Tell listeners again, the shows are going to be at the Goaltend Nickelodeon. What times and dates?
It is going to be this Saturday night at 9 and 10:30.
Okay, so two shows, but just one night.
Just one night.
And if people want tickets in advance, or do they just show up?
It would be good to get them in advance because you don't know if it's going to sell out. You can get them on the website, and it's theclubbabyseal.com. Drop the in front of it.
And if you just go to clubbabyseal.com, we're not going to be responsible for what you see there.
Fair enough.
Just a warning. And the Gold Town has soda and it has popcorn, but if people want to have, let's say, a bunch of beer beforehand, they should go do that somewhere else.
They can do both.
They can have it beforehand and at the show. Drinks are included in a $20 ticket. Unlimited beer and wine.
Outstanding.
Yeah. And you do need an ID to get in.
Of course, that would only make sense.
Valid 21 plus.
But people can't afford not to go to the show. Laughter and beer and wine, unlimited. Mm-hmm. Unlimited laughter, unlimited beer, unlimited wine.
It's what you need.
Exactly. Okay, well, Alicia Hughes-Scandish, Nate Williams, anything else you'd like to share with our listeners about the upcoming Saturday night shows of Club Baby Seal?
We look forward to seeing you there.
Yeah, it'll be great.
Well, thank you both for being here. I hope you have a great turnout and keep the folks laughing.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
It is 22, almost 23 minutes after the hour. I'm Ben Brown. This is a Juno Afternoon, and it gives me great pleasure to welcome as my next guest, our next guest, the Honorable Ken Kelch, the mayor of Juno. Mayor, how are you doing this afternoon?
I'm doing fine. It's a good day in America and a better day in Juno.
Well, I think it actually is a pretty nice day in Juno, weather-wise and just generally speaking. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be in Alaska's capital city. But there's certain things that could be better, such as the Teacher Excellence Fund, which people know about. But why don't you just start from the very beginning for those who may not and tell them what that is and why it matters?
I certainly will. And thank you, Ben, for the opportunity. August 27th is the start of school at the UAS, and by August 27th, we would like to have 150 Juno donors and be at our mark of $1 million. So let me tell you what's going on. This goes back to 2016. The University of Alaska administration was talking about having the School of Education at another campus besides Juno, which was kind of rough on Juno because the UAS had the strongest School of Education teacher program, and it was statewide. But during their look at consolidating some functions, it was in danger of moving, and as a UAS graduate and working through the teacher program, master's, the UAS is the natural place for that to be. They're just phenomenal out there in their delivery. So we came up with putting $1 million into an endowment fund from Juno for the UAS in, I guess, support and recognition of what the UAS does here, the University of Alaska Southeast, and helping solidify and maybe get some attention that Juno is really behind this. The UAS is a fairly large employer in Juno. It has over 300 employees here, payroll of $26 million. But right now we need some more community leadership to get in the game. So we're well over 100 donors. We need to get to 150 by the 27th. And that's why I'm here today. And you may ask, well, how do we do that? And I'll go, Ben, you can make out a check, large or small, to the Juno Community Foundation. Juno Community Foundation. And in the memo line, put in Teacher Excellence Fund. You know what a memo line is, Ben, right?
Yeah, yes, I do.
Okay. Then you just put it in an envelope and mail it to Juno Community Foundation, 350 North Franklin. 350 North Franklin, Suite 4, 99801.
Now, if you wanted to, you could probably go by and say hi to Amy Skillbred and Jamie Waste and deliver your check in person.
You could.
Although parking might be an issue.
Parking is never an issue downtown. That is just a...
It's a myth. It's a wives' tale.
It's an urban myth.
It's an urban myth. Okay.
Yeah,
now, if people do not want to do the paper method because they don't know what a memo line is there... I'm going to guess because our friends at Juno Community Foundation are pretty tech savvy, there's a way to do this online.
There is, and that is JunoCF, or Community Foundation, JunoCF.org, and then just follow the prompts. And if you follow the prompts... You'll get to the Teacher Excellence Fund, and by the 27th of August, we would like to be well over 150 donors, but at least at 150 donors, and that will put us very close to the 1 million mark.
Excellent. And so it's kind of like, since we're on a public radio station during pledge drives, the big gifts matter. If someone wants to give $500,000, that's all good and well, and that's very all good and well. But the small gifts matters too because they show the numerosity, the sort of depth of participation by as many people in the community, not just those with a lot of money to donate.
I didn't know you were going to use big words today. So.
I'm sorry. Every now and then they just – it's the legal training. They just come up unbidden.
Okay. Yes. And again, the – I guess rather overused word is skin in the game.
Right, right.
So it shows community involvement. It shows our support for the UAS and in particular the School of Education, which is now centered here.
Right.
And which is great.
Well, that was not an easy thing to do, and the community really did have to rally. John Pugh was still chancellor at the time, or it was had Rick Caulfield taken over?
Rick Caulfield had
taken over. It was pretty early in his tenure, actually.
Right.
And so with a transition like that, the regents might have thought, oh, well, we'll just – and, of course, listeners may know this, but the School of Fisheries and Ocean Sciences – is headquartered in Fairbanks, which is counterintuitive. We do have a facility down here. But so when people thought, gosh, education not being here, the good thing about an education school is it doesn't require a huge laboratory. It doesn't require an engineering building. It requires people who know how to teach other people to be good teachers. And we have that in Juneau. That's something that we are resource rich in. And so I really knew that we had a good case to make, but I was so proud of our community when we made it. But what this is a follow-up on that decision at the university level as a community to provide additional resources to make it work.
And we can wait another year and see if we can get this together. But right now, it looks like if we can get 150 donors by the 27th, we will be able to turn over that pot of money to a committee to decide how to start using it. And that would be so helpful for the UAS.
And the specific use is, because it's a teacher excellence fund, but it's basically to make sure that people who want to become teachers or want to get an advanced certification as a teacher but might not have the resources to do it at UAS, meeting them part of the way so that they can continue along their chosen path.
And it is to embrace and help however we can from that fund. And there are lots of creative ways of helping, but taking the interest out of that fund and using it to support this. And it's a statewide delivery.
Right. And the good thing about that is it shows what a great capital city we are because we are supporting an educational institution here. But that brings people here. And as you well know, some people will come here to go to school and they'll fall deeply in love with the place and they'll never want to leave. Or even if they do leave, they'll tell other people, hey, Juneau's an amazing place and you should check it out and you should support it remaining the capital for all time.
There you go. You must work someplace else too.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that. I am an attorney by trade or by training, and I've done a lot of different things. Before I took my current job across the street at the Jack for the Arts Council, you know, I thought maybe I should go get a one-year certification and put my other degrees to use. I think if I did teach, though, I would want to do what you did, which is teach theater. And I know that's you don't get to just teach theater anymore. That's a luxury that doesn't exist. But as I told our prior guest from Club ABCL, far and ahead, my favorite teacher at Palmer High School was Mr. Long, my theater teacher, also my English teacher. But you know, when you're a student and you have that one teacher or a couple teachers you really like, it changes your life. And so that's why this is important work.
It is. And it's also important to help teachers learn to teach and this is part of their program out there, and it means a lot when you have a mentor.
Absolutely. Well, so it's the Teacher Excellence Fund being managed by the very trustworthy folks at the Juneau Community Foundation. They actually have funds for the Arts Council. They actually have my family's foundation of money that supports the scholarship program. My parents founded over in Africa, so we are very lucky in this town. You know, there's an Alaska Community Foundation up in Anchorage. It does not provide as favorable terms as Juneau Community Foundation does. And I'm just going to shout out to Bill and Katie Corbis. The Corbises have given a large enough endowment directly to JCF. It enables them to take in other funds like this one and manage them on incredibly favorable terms. That makes it any money that anyone gives to this fund is going to have the smallest possible overhead. And the vast majority of it's going to go to the purpose of helping teachers become good teachers.
Exactly.
Yeah. So yet another reason Juneau is an awesome place to live. Well, thank you very much for being on, Mayor. And before we go, you know, your term as mayor is going to be wrapping up soon. So I want to thank you for doing an excellent job. And any thoughts as you see an election coming up and you – not that you're dreaming of the day that you get to turn those office keys.
56 days.
And who's counting? Do you have some sort of well-deserved holiday plan, I hope?
We will be heading towards the 50th state.
Ah, very good. It's a nice state. I like it a lot.
It is.
And hurricane season, and I shouldn't joke about that because they actually have some stuff blowing in right now. But hopefully all will be well there, and you will certainly have earned some time on the beach or up in the snows of Mauna Kea, wherever your travels take you.
All right. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ken. Have a great afternoon. And don't forget, donate to the Teacher Excellence Fund for the UAS Scholarship Program. Thank you. And it is about 37 minutes after the hour. This is a Juno afternoon. I'm Ben Brown. And with me now are Julie York-Copens and Art Roach and Jason Midget. And we're going to talk about things happening at Perseverance Theater. I'm just going to tell you right now, it turns out that you will be sharing microphones. I lied to you earlier. So if you want to do what I told you just to reverse, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain out there in Radio Land.
I love it.
So, first of all, Jason, you're relatively new.
Let me interrupt you even while we're stopped. So it's Joshua Midget. Ooh.
And I write that down in my very own hand. So that's not really a typo. It's a handwritten. Joshua Midget, what's your title?
I'm the managing director, the incoming managing director at Perseverance Theater.
And your first day is going to be?
October 15th.
Okay.
Though it feels like it was 2 days ago. Yeah.
Yes, well, it feels that way to me because I met you 2 days ago and you were already working.
And meeting you is really starting work, truly.
Indeed. Well, you can talk with the board about what sort of hazard pay or compensation they're going to offer you for that. Well, so good. So obviously the things have been in transition over at Perseverance Theater, and I may know a little more than some of our listeners do. So maybe, Art, you want to just give people the 30,000-foot view of what's happening over at Alaska's main professional theater company.
Sure. I mean, the really exciting thing to talk about today is bringing in a managing partner. Typically, theaters in our size, sort of the small to middle-sized group of theaters, will have an artistic director whose job is curation and making sure the work on stage is good, sort of the product, and a managing director whose job is to be running the business and be the front-facing part of the theater around the community, around the sort of the business of the theater. And we've been doing without that for quite some time, and it's been a lot of work. And about 2 years ago, we really started focusing on how to make it happen, and it's taken that long, but including other crises. But it's really delightful to have Joshua here. And then I guess the other thing about this to say to the listeners is I think I want to say it was about 5 or 6 years ago that Jeffrey Herman, who people may remember, was the managing director here with Peter Dubois and later P.J. Pepperelli, sent me an email saying there's this student in my arts management class at American University that you should just know about. Just keep track of this guy. His name's Joshua, and here's the introduction. And I think we exchanged, yeah, keep in touch, visit when you're in Alaska, ha, 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 I'll look for you at a conference. And then it just kept happening. So it's a perfect segue to the five-year plan.
And well, again, welcome, Joshua. And, you know, I, of course, knew Jeff quite well. I knew he was at Woolly Mammoth. I didn't know that he was teaching up at American. And maybe he and his lovely wife, Sarah, had told me that. So I had no idea. That's great. And it's even better if it's produced your being here.
Yes. I remember hearing his bio on the first day of class and him saying that he was formerly the managing director at Perseverance, which I grew up here in Juneau. And so Perseverance was a name that was near and dear to my heart. And when I was about to graduate from American University, they asked us to sort of craft our five-year plan. And I put some vague answer down, and my professor got very upset with me and said, no, I want a specific job title and location. Where do you want to be? And I said, fine, fine. And I wrote down on a piece of paper, I said, I want to be the managing director of Perseverance Theater in 5 years. And it's only been four, so I'm a year ahead of time. I'm doing great.
Well, again, talk about the stars aligning. You can't really make that up.
No, you can't.
And so, but you didn't come directly from commencement at American. You had a stop on the way.
Yes, I did. So for the last 4 years, I've been the general manager at the Contemporary American Theater Festival, which is in Shepherdstown, West Virginia. It's a festival that focuses on new American theater. So they produce six new works every summer. And we actually we worked with Perseverance Theater about 2 years ago on the show Not Medea by Allison Gregory. And that actually gave me the opportunity to fly out here to watch that show grow from what it started in Shepherdstown to see what it became here. And so it gave me a chance to explore the stage here and to really meet Art in person. The joke came true where he said, let me know when you're in Alaska. And I walked into the door. And we started the conversation then. And it sort of has been a two-year dance since then.
And culture shock coming from West Virginia back then. You said you lived here. When did you live here previously?
I grew up here. So I moved here. My father was in the military, so he was in the Coast Guard. I moved here during third grade and left as I was leaving Floyd Dryden. So I left in seventh grade, yeah.
And do you have any particular shows that you enjoyed seeing when you were here at that point in life?
Well, what we had is, and I don't know, I sort of attribute this to Perseverance, and I think Art said this may or may not have been true, but there were storytellers that came into our school at that time, and I vividly remember experiencing them there. And then when I moved, I went on to start becoming a part of the drama club, and theater became a part of my life. And I remember the storytellers being the inspiration behind doing that.
Well, again, that speaks well of our school district. And of course, we have a representative from JSD coming in a moment. So, boy, everything's just threaded together today here on a Juneau afternoon. I love that. Well, so we'll hear a little more about some of the other things going on from you in a moment, just here, Julie. But what excites you most, Joshua, about the work you're going to be beginning doing?
I'm really excited to come to an organization that is so grounded in its place. Even when so I was up in Anchorage just a couple of days ago with you and learning and hearing about how much Perseverance has these sort of moons of connections sort of orbiting the planet, which is the six shows that happens here, and how important the community and the culture is of Alaska to this theater, how they are dedicated to doing work that is for and by Alaskans, is really unique across the theatrical landscape in this country. And while I've really appreciated working for a theater that has been focusing on new work, I'm excited to work on a theater that is focused on work that is by and for the people in its community.
But that's a well-thought-out answer. I don't think you just made that one up on the spot, so well done. No one ever does that in the theater. No one ever makes anything up on the spot. Well, Julie, what would you like to share about? So, because you're relatively new in your formal role.
Right. And kind of similar to Joshua, my employment at Perseverance starting this summer was really enabled by this tremendous philanthropy that we have been the beneficiaries of this last summer. Some major donors coming forward to help us recover from some past season setbacks financially and to set a course for a stronger future. So kind of like Joshua, I'd been talking with Art for a long time about joining the staff. My main interest is in youth theater, educational theater. I'm also have been a journalist in communications, and it was clear the theater really needed some more muscle in those areas, but they just didn't have the budget to staff up. And now we can. So to be able to kind of catch our breaths, we've been through some rough patches here, but everybody's been working so hard with very little, and people are kind of worn out. But now we're re-energized. We've gotten this tremendous support, and I should mention that part of that philanthropy that we've received this summer, it has an asterisk. It's dependent on a major fundraising challenge we have going on, $100,000. We're calling it Persevere With Us challenge that we're putting out to our community, individual donors here in Juneau, all across Alaska, people who care about what we do, want to see it continue. The major funders who've come up with six-figure donations want to know that the moms and pops and kids and families here in Juneau also value our work here. So no donation is too small. You can go to ptalaska.org/donate to kick in some bucks for this challenge. We only have until September 30th to come up with the rest of it. We're about halfway there. So if people can do that. It's being in the building now. I can't tell you what a positive shift there's been. We are ready to go. We've got our 40th anniversary season coming up. So to also see the community coming forth with their money, their good wishes, means a lot.
Well, and that need to tell potential corporate or existing corporate and foundation donors about the individual willingness of the community, it sounds familiar to a project I'm working on. So,
yeah.
but I think that's true. And when you mentioned, Joshua, being in Anchorage, we were lucky enough to have been invited by the Rasmussen Foundation to be part of the grant makers, the beginning of the tour, a week-long tour where they bring foundations from across the country up. And that's just a common thread. You know, the Doris Duke Foundations of this world. Any organization like that is going to want to know that, as Mayor Kelch said, there's skin in the game mm-hmm. from the men, women, and children on the streets of whatever community you're looking at. So the good thing is the past has proven that people support not only the Arts Council, but Perseverance, but all the arts organizations we have in this town. So I'm very confident that that goal will be met and probably surpassed. But it won't happen unless you, who's listening, and you haven't made a contribution yet, choose to do so. So people can do that by going to ptalaska.org.
Yep, /donate.
And /donate. So we make it very user-friendly and very easy. So good. So Art, what about the upcoming season? Our town's the first show, correct?
Yeah, we pushed back the start of the season back in June. So we're opening with Our Town, the Thornton Wilder Classic. We are a few days out from being able to announce the cast, but what I'm really excited about is it's all actors who are Alaskan. Not all of them right now collect their mail in an Alaska zip code, but they almost all do. And they have a really diverse way in which they became Alaskan actors. Some of them got training and came here and became Alaskans. Others were born here and never left. Others were born here, went away, got training, and are coming back for this. It's a really great group of Alaskan actors then telling this great story. And then the world premiere of Franklin by Samantha Noble. This is a playwright whose teacher at Boston University sent this play to me and said, there's something about this play, which was workshopped here in Boston, that you guys ought to do. And the play takes place on a scientific research vessel that's searching for the missing – for the Terror and the Erebus, the missing two ships that Franklin was in when they were looking for the Northwest Passage. And she said it was done in Boston. It should be done at the other end of the Northwest Passage. And I think there's some things about the text that you can figure out.
And what Boston Theater Company did that?
It was a, she was a student at BU, Samantha was. It was her thesis project.
Okay.
Yeah.
Big theater department at BU.
Yeah. Wonderful theater program. Erica Stone is a terrier.
Something else cool about Franklin, a lot of people are familiar with the local songwriter, Marion Call.
Right.
And she's created an original score for that piece. So it's going to be really exciting.
Right.
It's like science meets art meets music meets ecology. Yeah.
And all these themes. I believe a submarine just got very close to the remains of the Terror.
They've been
in
located.
Baffin Bay,
yeah.
right? And so
yeah.
I think there's some repatriation going on of some of that stuff.
Correct.
Right?
Yeah, and that came about, Marion's involvement came about because the device Samantha creates to tell this story is to put a composer, an artist in residence on this ship. And eventually as she starts writing music and trying to understand the story of the characters she's writing about, the sailors that were lost, she figures out where to look. So the story is really about inspiration and science and art and where they where those two things come from. And
okay.
Marion is, you know, creating the music for the songwriter.
Excellent.
You've probably been invited to Antarctica, Marion. You should do this.
Okay. And what's next after that?
After that, we have the world premiere of Kathy Taganak Rexford's play Whale Song. Kathy's an Inupiaq playwright. She's part of our writer's circle. I also met her through the Alaska Native Playwrights Projects, which brought Vera Starbard and Lucas Rowley to the theater. And Whale Song is a coming-of-age story about destiny and duty to community and freedom of choice. And it's a woman that's her destiny is to go through a ceremony where she marries the chief of the bowhead whale and becomes a bowhead whale herself in order to bring the Inupiaq people and the bowhead whale together, set in the contemporary Arctic today. And she's told her destiny, and she's also told you're free to choose it or to do something else. And that's the sort of the tension of that is what drives the plot. And we're really excited about Guys and Dolls.
That'll be a hit.
Fantastic. We got Rob Cohen coming back to do the music and Richie Adan to do choreography. It'll be a nice jazzy Guys and Dolls with a lot of our favorites, I'm sure. And then we're closing with this really fun Steve Martin adaptation of an old German play called The Underpants. And what happens in The Underpants is that this, this German woman is – out at a parade, and she's trying to catch a glimpse of the Kaiser as he goes by. And as she climbs up on a bench, her underpants fall down. And it's scandalous to her husband. It turns out that he's the only person that was scandalous to. But then all these other men start showing up and want to rent the guest room and are interested in her in a way that they weren't before. So
hilarity ensues.
Yes. And
all right.
Steve Martin's writing is terrific, of course.
Well, it's going to be a very exciting season. I've already renewed my subscription. If you have not done so, you can call 364-2421 and talk to James or somebody, and they'll take care of that for you. So I do want to make sure we have time for our last guest this afternoon from the school district. So I want to thank you, Joshua Midget and Art Roach and Julie York Copens, for being here. Any final quick words for our listeners on a Juno afternoon? Joshua.
No, I just wanted to thank you. I look forward to speaking to you guys on other Juno afternoons.
There will be many to come.
Yes.
Can I mention, Ben, one thing? I'm still looking for actors. Perseverance has a partnership with the library to do a live reading from Harry Potter on September 1st.
Okay.
So drop me a line if you're a Harry Potter fan and want to do some reading for us.
That sounds great. All right. Thank you, Julie, Art, and Joshua, and keep up the good work over at Perseverance.
Thanks, Ben.
Come join the Juno Arts and Humanities Council for the 10th and final Summer Block Party of 2018 this Friday, August 17th from 5:30 to 7 p.m. in the Centennial Hall Courtyard or the Jack Main Hall if the weather is inclement. Featuring live music with Betsy Semmes and her marimba band and the Mayor's Awards for the Arts presented by Mayor Ken Kelch. As always, there will be plenty of local products offered by local Juno merchants, a beer garden, lawn games, and a whole lot more fun. Celebrate the summer and support the new Jack. Sponsored by the Juno Arts and Humanities Council. It is about 8 minutes before the hour. I'm Ben Brown. Our last, certainly not our least guest on this edition of A Juno Afternoon is the acting superintendent for the Juno School District, Dr. Bridget Weiss. Welcome back to A Juno Afternoon, the first time you've been here in this particular capacity.
That is true. Thank you very much.
And congratulations on your selection to lead our district for the next year.
Thank you. I am really excited to take on this role and support our district, our families, our kids. So it's very exciting.
Well, you would have been supporting the district and the families and the kids in your old role, but this one opened up. So it's a little bit more work. And I just think it's really a pivotal time for our district because the resource base is not increased. We don't have a lot more money to make good things happen. but good things are going to continue to happen. So tell us some of the things you're most excited about for the coming school year.
Absolutely. We are really excited to get the year underway. And you're absolutely right. Our resources are few, but our skill sets and our energy and our enthusiasm and our programming is really on the mark. And so we're excited to welcome students back on Monday. And we've had our teachers back today for the first day. And we've been doing a lot of training today specifically around instructional strategies. So just a lot of positive energy in the training today, and teachers are ready and rested from the summer, ready to go.
Where are we with enrollments this year? You probably don't know quite yet, but what are we anticipating?
We have been doing registration, so if anybody is not registered yet, we want them to show up at our building sites where they would go to school and get registered in the next couple of days. So our numbers are always a little soft right now, but it looks like we are either right on our projected target number or a little bit over that. So that is good news. Again, it's a soft number because we still have a few days to go until we get to see the whites of their eyes. But we're pretty excited about that potential of being maybe even a little above our target number.
And that's a reversal of a trend we've seen over the past few years. So, boy, I hope that the soft numbers firm mm-hmm. up, and they firm up north of the line that we were expecting to have come in.
Yeah.
What else is going on? Have there been any particular staffing changes in terms of the leadership at any of the schools that people need to know about?
We have a new principal on board at Riverbend. So Scott Nelson is joining us from the Mat-Su School District. And so he's been here and getting things set up at Riverbend. So we're excited about that. We also have new KinderReady programs that are in place this year. So that's important to note. Last year, we had our KinderReady preschool at Harborview located and started that program. And this year, we're expanding it. We have a site at Mendenhall River Community School and a site at Glacier Valley.
And that's timely, of course, given the robust conversation the community has been having about best starts and what we can do, again, with limited resources to make sure that children are ready when they get to kindergarten. This isn't for every student in the district, but for those who are able to go to these facilities, that really will help them and their families out.
Absolutely. We know that early intervention pays off. So if we're going to commit a dollar to education, the earlier we do it, the more we get for that dollar. And these programs are really exciting. They are in our sights. We have teachers hired in each of these programs. We have lots of room. We don't have lots of room, but we have some room for sure left in each of those places. And so if anybody is interested, they can call either Mendenhall River, Glacier Valley, or Harborview, and we'll get them steered in the right direction. It's very exciting. We're collaborating with Head Start, which is another great program, and we have Head Start in two of our facilities as well at Gastineau and Mendenhall River, as well as their other sites. So we also have an integrated peer program. So we have lots of opportunity, and that early childhood piece, you're right. Juno is talking about it, and that's the first step because it really is a very, very critical layer of the support and the launch that we can do for kids before they hit kindergarten.
And I would be shocked if every one of those spots did not fill up very, very soon. So again, if you're interested in one of those and you have the ability to get your student to either of those schools, make it happen now.
Absolutely. Give us a call. It's very reasonable. If a family isn't sure that they can even pay the amount, the $200 per session, we have scholarships available for those families that have economic need. And we want to support families 0 to 5, 3 to 5. Those are our challenges where we know that the environment is so important to kids and giving them those great learning opportunities early. We're here and ready to bring kids in.
Excellent. So I could obviously talk all afternoon, but that's not possible. What else do you have that on your list of things you wanted to make sure you shared with our listeners?
So just a reminder that on Monday, our grades 1 through 12 start. Our kindergarten students will start on August 23rd, and then our preschool programs, all of them, will start on August 28th. So we do a little bit of a staggered start, and we're really excited. On Monday, as we know as a community, that means lots of kids out and about. So just that more mindful driving, especially in the morning on Monday, the 20th, we'll have not only walkers, but we'll have teenage drivers. And so just the cautious approach that morning to keep everybody safe is super important.
Give yourself a little, it's just like the first day of snow.
Exactly. A little extra time goes a long way.
Excellent. So junoschools.org is the district's website. It is replete with information. And that's a great place for people to go and to learn.
Absolutely. And school supplies is always a big question, too. We have on your school site website that we have lists, and as well, many of our elementary schools post those supply lists on their front doors.
Okay, very good. Well, Dr. Weiss, thank you so much for being on A Juno Afternoon. Congratulations again. Best wishes for an excellent school district. And we'll have you back, or if you're too busy, whoever's going to be
Perfect.
Filling your old position
yes.
sometime soon in the school year.
Absolutely. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Support comes from Northland Audiology and Hearing Services in the Jordan Creek Center. Northland Audiology offers diagnostic medical hearing expertise and digital technology hearing instruments. NorthlandAudiology.com.
And it's about a minute and a half before the hour, and you've been listening to A Juno Afternoon. I'm Ben Brown. Wednesday, the 15th of August. Thanks so much for listening. We heard from Club Baby Seal. They've got shows on Saturday night. Ken Kelsch would like you as mayor to support the Teacher Excellence Fund. You can go to the Juno Community Foundation. Perseverance Theater, lots of good stuff going on there. And Dr. Weiss, the Juno School District Superintendent. Thanks so much for listening, and tune in tomorrow for A Juno Afternoon once again.